You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
And so we had to limit my children's contact around people who talk like that and act like that. You got to protect your child's environment in terms of where you take them. You may have to protect your child's environment in terms of who you allow come over your house. You definitely got to protect your child's environment regarding what houses you let your kids go to. Even if they go to Right Direction Church International and been a member for 10 years, you don't know that what they do in their house.
Yeah.
Well, but they in the church.
That doesn't matter.
You ain't seen me over the house. Really, you can't let your children go to everybody's house.
Check them out.
I remember one time someone invited us over for dinner, and we know our own kids. We know our kids. Our kids are loud. If they loud and you hear them, everything good. They get quiet. What's going on? Let's go. And y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, so we there with this couple, all of a sudden get quiet. Excuse me. We come, y'all come on back in here. We don't know what's going on out there.
Right.
Y'all too quiet. Okay? You got to protect your children's environment. And parents, you're responsible for that. You're responsible. And nobody's going to tell you. Here's another aspect that we have to look at. Because, you know, natural order thing, we're talking about single and then married, then having children. But in your situation, you could be a single parent because things didn't go in that natural order like that. Now your priorities all the more got to change because you're a single adult, so you feel I can be independent, but you got a child. You're not obligated to a man or a woman, but you are obligated to that child. And you can't conduct yourself like you're single and then get mad because you want to go out and party on Friday night and your parents who are in their 50s or 60s don't want to babysit and you think we bad grandparents. No, we launched you.
Right.
This our time. It's our time to date now. On Friday night, you know, and so you have to set your priorities around your children.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I want to bring in the young Baileys over here regarding protecting environment.
Sure.
Because that's one thing I've noticed that they really, really conscious of that, even with us. You know, they might be regarding faith. They're teaching their children faith, and they're teaching their children how to talk faith, and they also very conscious of their children's self-esteem. That's one thing I noticed. And so there's things that, you know, we might be doing, and we might say something, you know, and we might be joking and laughing. I don't know exactly what was the context, but you refer to this all the time. And recently, Righteous said something, and we laughed, and he was like, you know God is real, right?
Yeah. He can do it, you know.
And so, they're teaching, and so one of the things that they are communicating with their kids that God is real, and there's nothing that He can't do. So you know, so when we might be joking about something, challenging, like, you know, Mom, you know, we're talking to the kids about this, and we tell them, you know, or we tell them fear is not real, you know, and we're telling them, you know, that they support one another, and you know, we don't focus on losing and winning because you know we don't want them to have defeat. And then sometimes I'm thinking, you know,
chill out.
Yeah, because you know, Taylor will give me a call. You know, he's like, Mom, you know, I know I saw the video. Yeah, they racing in the pool, and
but we try not to make them competitive against one another. I'm like, chill out.
But
not.
Now, go ahead, Taylor.
I mean, for us, it's really a strategy for us. Back to the fear is not real, because you said at the Noonday Bible study, I wanted to elaborate on that. We teach them that fear is not real, but danger is. So we want them to know something's hot. If you put your hand on a stove, it'll hurt you. But we don't want them walking around like scared of stoves. You know, so there's a strategy on how we do that. And as far as protecting the environment, we just really, truly believe, like, we have fun with God in the house. We're very youthful. We're young. We're a young family. We had a lot of responsibilities that we were in together. But we have fun with God, but there's a serious side of God. Growing up in my life as a young man, I had a lot of intimate, private, but real, extraordinary God encounters.
Yeah.
We joke around about it, but it was real. There was times where it was life or death situations, and God put in my spirit and protected our family from a car accident.
Right.
That's something that so God was really always along the way of my life, showing specks of his authenticity in my life. One of the times, you know, you shared that story in Greensboro when you preached at Pastor Lockett's church about the squirrel, you know,
the bird
who I was just being such a good kid, throwing rocks at a bird for no reason. And the bird died. And my dad's like, why'd you kill the bird? You know, and everything, you know, what you should do. I was murder the bird. But for me in my world, right, it's funny, but for me in my world as a little kid, I remember it clear as day. I was like, oh, man, God, forgive me, blah, blah, blah. So I went in the room. I cried out to God, and I prayed. And I said, God, you know what? I heard this story in children's church. You raised Lazarus from the dead. I know you're the God of the living that raises things up that's dead. I said, God, I need you to raise this bird up. And I knew, in my head, I remember crying, sobbing. And I ran outside. It was in Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma. I ran outside, and the bird got up, and Dad saw it, and flew away. So I know how precious a child is, and Minister Joyce, you can bear witness with this, that a child's faith is really so strong, it's so organic. So creating a culture in our household where we have fun with God, but we don't pick on them for believing in God, you know? And we try to shy them away from other people who pick on their faith as well. I don't mind people laughing because it's cute, but if you're laughing because it's like a game, then we sort of shy away and protect our kids from that.
Yeah. Even with their parents.
Yeah.
You want to ask him?
Oh.
Okay.
Let me get a couple of scriptures in here. And then in a couple minutes we got remaining here. As young families, you have to remember that children are part of God's purpose in the Christian marriage. I think this is, you know, I came across this scripture during the time of Focus on the Family a few years ago. Never heard anybody teach about it. But Malachi 2:15, in the context, he's telling his people, particularly men, not to divorce their wives. And, you know, in the scripture times, women didn't have any right to divorce. It was a man who would divorce his wife. And he would divorce them for frivolous reasons, you know, like when he married her, she had a perm, and now she got a little natural afro. You know what I'm saying? It was just for frivolous reasons they would divorce their spouses and stuff. And so God said he didn't want them to do that. And so Malachi 2:15, he says, this New Living Translation, he says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you were his. And what does he want? And he gives the answer. Godly children from your union.
Mm. Yeah.
God puts Christians together because he wants godly children from your union. He says, so guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. So God's purpose in giving us children is to have godly children.
Yeah.
Which means those of you who are single, you got to be real conscious of who you dating, who you sleeping with, and who you marry. Now, I know you notice I didn't just say who you marry. I also said who you're sleeping with. Because what happened? You sleep with people, you get pregnant. That's been happening since Adam and Eve. Okay? It ain't no great mystery how this happened. People are like, how that happened? Do you really need to ask? Okay? But so you know, if I was gonna have godly children, I need to have a godly wife. We need to have a godly family if I'm gonna have godly children. Now we know God can do anything, but it's gonna be the easiest way to have godly children is to have a godly husband, a godly marriage, and raise up godly children. Are y'all following me here? The truth of the matter is, listen, y'all, parents, let me see all the parents of children here. Our children are not supposed to have to be evangelized. You didn't catch that. Our children are not supposed to have to be evangelized. They should be the evangelists. I didn't understand that first because when I went to college, I went to predominantly white institution.
Oh.
Got HBCUs and got PWIs. Okay. So I went to a small PWI, predominantly white white college. And I got involved in student Christian fellowship, which were primarily white young Christians. And the thing is, that's where a change happened in my life. Because see, I knew church. I didn't know relationship with God. And I saw these people, they didn't know nothing about shouting. They wasn't even speaking in tongues. But I saw them have a real sincere relationship with God. And I'll never forget this girl. She was a Lutheran girl. And I said to her, I said, well, how long have you been a Christian? And she said, I can't remember a time I wasn't a Christian. Mm. And I was like, what you talking about? You know, because I came out of church where everybody talking about, I thank God for delivering me from a miserable life of sin. You know, I used to be a drug addict, used to be a prostitute, used to run numbers, but then the Lord saved me. I figured everybody's supposed to. And then I'm hearing this young lady say, I don't remember a time I wasn't a Christian. I can see my grandchildren saying that.
Yeah.
Okay? My children can say that. Now, they know they've been Christian. Now, they didn't always live like Christians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I mean, they got saved. You know, when I would see certain things on Facebook when she was in college, see, like, stuff she was wearing, where she was at. And I would say, where's my little evangelist? I want to see the evangelist. Because when she was a little girl, she wanted everybody to be saved. She would ride in the van and cry. I said, what you crying for? I want people to know Jesus. I'm like, where's the evangelist? I need her back.
She's still there.
You know? And last night she was talking about evangelizing somebody, getting somebody saved. Okay. But what I'm saying, that should be the norm for our children. Yeah. They just grow up knowing the Lord, serving the Lord. Because that's what they see us do.
And they see us also living godly lives.
That's what you got to do.
In the home. I think the conflict for our children in church, that grow up in church, they see the contradiction. They see the church us, and they know the home us.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we, you know, we make sure that we are living the same life before our children and showing them the ways of the Lord. But one of the things that blessed me so much is when I was watching the kids one night, they were spending the night, and I was tucking them in, and they were getting ready to fall asleep. And before I think they were falling asleep, they were drifting off. It's like, Nana, you got to pray for us. That's something I did for my kids for a very long time, all the way through high school, and I thought it was a good thing till they start joking about that hand in the middle of the night, waking up to it, you know. But I believe in laying hands. When they were teens, they would show out. I would go in that room, 1-2 o'clock in the morning with some oil, and they said the most traumatic.
Wake up, head all greasy, like.
And we were all on a group chat, and my feelings got hurt. You say, you know, the most traumatic thing they had was waking up to a hand. I was like, well, I'm praying for y'all. But I prayed for them, and now they are praying for their kids.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the kids require it. That's a blessing for your children to want you to pray for them.
Yeah, it is.
You need to have the right perspective about your children. From God's perspective, I don't care what the world says and how stressful things may need to be. Your children are not crumb snatchers. Your children are not rugrats. Your children are not baby kids. Your children are not snotty nose brats. Your children, according to the word of God, are a blessing from the Lord. And you need to see them as such and value them as such. Psalms 127, 3-5, the New Living Translation says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers in the city gates. It says, so children are a gift from the Lord. Now, you know, when you give somebody a gift, you know, I know this whole thing, you're supposed to give people gifts and then just forget that you're supposed to just detach yourself from the gift. But I have to be honest, that ain't so easy for me to do. When I give somebody a gift, especially like if I gave them a car, I'm looking at how they treat that car. Man, I bought the car, they at least could wash the car, you know. And how much more if God gives us children as a gift? Don't you think he looks at how we treat them, how we're raising them, how we value them, how we talk to them? Some of y'all grew up with your parents saying all kinds of things to you. You know you didn't like it. Don't repeat it.
Right.
Make a decision to not repeat the dysfunction. And some of us, it was cussing and all that. But sometimes it's not cussing. Sometimes just being negative. You know, it's calling them dumb and stupid and crazy. And you're just like your father. And, you know, in some negative connotation and all that. So I think we've got to be real mindful of that. Psalm 113 and 9. He says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. God does that. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be the joyful mother of children. God gives a woman children. Psalm, the New Living Translation, he gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. We talk about priorities having to change. Psalm 31, 15 and verse 17, New Living Translation, talks about that proverbial virtuous woman. I like this because this is Pastor Marcia here. Verse 15, she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan a day's work for her servant girls.
No servant
girls. You have those servant girls?
They hide it on me.
Okay. By the way, y'all, when we went to Africa, our friend, the Binis, the first time we went to, and really even in South Africa with our friends, the Rylands, you know, they call it what they want, but they got people, they're always helping them. And so so we noticed when we were there in Ghana, you know, every time we woke up, there was these people there. And so we said, who is this? And I can't remember. She said they are servants. Maids. I said, oh, sucky over here. Y'all got to go on over here in Africa. She said, you don't have servants? No, we ain't got no servants. It costs other. You got to have a lot of money in the United States to have servants. They're like, oh no, here everybody, everyone. Okay, so if y'all want servants, you need to go to Africa. Okay, verse 17 says she's energetic and strong and a hard worker. So if you're going to be a parent, y'all, this got to be a priority to you.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to prepare, and you can't be lazy. If you're a lazy parent, I hate to say it, but especially a lazy mother, because it usually falls more on the mother, especially God and children, it's going to show.
It sure will.
You want to say something about that?
I was wanting to bring the young families.
Bring the young families
in here. Talking about priorities and working hard and being a mom. And, you know, Audria, how has it been? You know, your oldest is just turned 6.
Yes.
So how did you juggle everything and, you know, regarding managing children, managing your life, and establishing, because you're in that young phase of establishing priorities.
Mm-hmm. It's been a challenge at first, but thank God for you for helping me out. But as far as getting a consistent bedtime for them, and then just so that way, because I know with me, as far as the adjustments, sometimes I try not to do that, but sometimes I'm focused on feeding them and feeding Chandler. So it's like sometimes I won't eat until like later, so after they go to sleep. So I'm trying to work on like
that's not
trying
unusual,
to
right?
Yeah. So it's like trying to at least try to eat while they're eating as well. And then now my major challenge now is to get them to eat at dinner time and not try to say they're hungry after they get in the bed. So that's the
manipulation. That's
the challenge.
That's that manipulation
right there.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much with Righteous, but Lena does that a lot now. Yeah. I'll say, okay, Lena, are you sure you're done eating? I said, because you'd rather go take your bath, and once you get in the bed, that's it. And so she'll say, yeah, I'm done. So when she gets in the bed, Mommy, I'm hungry. And Chandler can attest to that. She will, like, literally scream, I'm hungry. Like, she did this last night. She's like, you never feed me. I said, I said, no.
What's so funny about all this? They tell us these stories about our granddaughter. We're like, whose child is? We never see these aspects of her.
Never.
She's the sweetest angel with us. And we hear these tantrums that they have. We don't know what's going on in their house.
She's a hustler. She'll play me.
Yes.
That's
hilarious.
I would ask her, I say, do you do this at Nana's house? No. I said, why do you do this to me? Like, I'm your mom. Why do you do this to me? So I guess just getting over that. I guess for me, being strong and say, okay, well, no. You're not hungry. You're going to bed. Mm-hmm. So just with that. And then my main focus now is to have that time in the morning. So for me getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, so I can have that me time with God and just have that me time. Because once they get up, that's it.
Yeah, I was saying that during noontime, I got up early initially just to get ahead of the game. I have four kids, and they were energetic. You know, I had boys, my goodness, three boys first, and Kendra kept right up with them. She was just as good as them as far as jumping, running, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I had to, and they were early risers. So for me to feel like I was ahead of the game and able to manage my day, I had to get up early. You know, and then also I need to have time to pray. When you have young children and you're a young married woman and you're in ministry, you got to pray.
You have to.
It's not when I can get around to it. It's part of it's the staple of your life. So I realized I was a much better person, much better wife, much better mom when I spent that time, got up early, spent time in prayer, started my day ahead of time, preparing the house for when my kids wake up. I mean, we can go about our day and go to, you know, take them to school or whatever the case may be. So preparing the clothes at night. I mean, that was a ritual. Every night they would hang. If you came in our house at night, you would see the clothes hanging over the banister. And those are the clothes that needed to be ironed. And those are the clothes that they were wearing for the next day. Wasn't no changing it up because we didn't have time.
We had to discipline
and structure. You know, structure helped. And one of the things I realized that structure was really important with our house, because my children were energetic. I had hyper children. So children, when they're hyper, contrary to what you may think, they do better in structure. They thrive in structure, you know, and they're able to move forward in school in structure. So I had to teach my kids structure, and it was tedious. And sometimes it's challenging. They fight against you. But I want to encourage y'all to stay consistent with it.
Give an example of what you mean when you say teaching them structure.
I want, you know, Chandler, you can give some insight on this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely, like, you know, you were consistent with structure, too. It wasn't just moments. Like, you know, I mean, I wanted to say this just to be an example. It wasn't just because you just left a women's conference and you're on fire. And you know, you hang on for that week and then it slows down. You were deliberately consistent, like lining our shoes up. We had to line our shoes up. Small things like, you know, I remember it's funny you brought the banister. Those any clothes we wanted to wear to have ironed the next day, we had to put it on the banister, or she taught us to iron our clothes the night before.
Right.
And how important those things were. Right. I remember the times I did not want to wake up early in the morning. Sometimes me, Tyler, Dan, we didn't want to wake up early in the morning. But we had to wake up. It was time to go to school, brush your teeth, do this, do that. So, I mean, at first it was weird, you know, but it was consistent. And now I realize it pays off because now we're parents. And we have this model, this foundation to build off of when it even comes to our kids, too. So that structure really helped out.
And I had to go to it because I didn't have extended family. You know, I didn't have anybody to help me do certain things. And we moved around, so I couldn't just get people to babysit my kids sometimes. So everything had a place. The book bags had a place. The shoes have the place. You know, so that in the morning, we can get out the house.
And it's not chaos.
Yes.
And even on Sundays, we empathize with y'all and all that. And at the same time, I'm going, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Because we have four children. We were very active in ministry. We were at church, when we were in Maine, 9 o'clock in the morning. When we were at Rhema, we were there, we did the 8 o'clock service there. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about back in the day I was more traditional church. I dressed my children to go to church. Yeah, I'm not saying you have to do that now. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying that's where we were. My point is, so dressing your kids, that meant, you know, they grew up, they went with suits and ties and all, and I had all, we did all that.
Dress socks.
Yeah, we did all that. And then all in the car, and we were there because I was playing the organ or teaching Sunday school, whatever. And that was part of our routine.
Yeah.
It's what we did. And if it's a priority for you, you can make it happen.
And at the time, you know, I mean, you know, of course, we didn't see all that God had planned for us.
And wasn't right.
You
That's
know,
good.
But we were in the making of a ministry family. Because now you see the generation here.
Every family will go through stages in life.
You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already lost your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.